Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I think that we have to look at entitlements. I have no problem with the president doing that. As I've said on a number of occasions, though, Social Security has not contributed one penny to the deficit. Leave Social Security alone. I think that we have to look at revenues, more fairly balancing the revenues.
But, Harry Reid, before we get to the president's speech this afternoon on entitlement reform and other deficit reduction, here's why the Obama-Boehner budget agreement for the next 6 months will probably pass the House tomorrow, despite many members on both sides holding their noses. And I think we're about to speak to two of them. It's reflected in this Gallup poll out this morning. Listen to these numbers. Gallup finds that by an overwhelming 62% to 25%, Americans support the agreement. Democrats, Republicans, and Independents all support it, and that doesn't happen every day, with Democrats showing the most support, 71 to 18%, then Independents at 60 to 25%, and Republicans 58 to 32%. Furthermore, Americans think neither party won this fight, according to the Gallup survey. Over 50% of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents say it was a victory for neither. The next highest group was victory for both, so almost no one said it was a victory just for Democrats or just for Republicans. So how many of you listening right now are thinking, who are these people? Do they live in the same country that I do? Well, the people may be right or the people may be wrong, but politically, it's a win-win for the president and Republican leaders, or so it would seem. It's a win-win-win-win-win if you count Democrats and Republicans who will vote no without actually sinking the bill, because that'll be popular in their districts. Or maybe it's just a loss for America, but most of the people think it's a win. Popularity doesn't make something right. It just makes it popular. Now the details are emerging about what has actually been cut, actually been spared, or even increased in some cases, and what non-budgetary special interest items lobbyists managed to sneak in there behind closed doors. No smoke-filled rooms anymore, just plenty of bought and paid for access to smoke-free rooms. It's a free country, or is it? Anyway, we'll take a look now at the effects on New York and New Jersey with two local Congress members. And since this deal was only a small appetizer, we will preview the president's speech this afternoon on his 10-year approach to deficit reduction. And by the way, we will carry that speech live on AM 820 this afternoon at 1:30. And I will be hosting a live simultaneous online chat at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, 1:30 this afternoon. And, of course, we'll break down that speech in great detail back here tomorrow morning. But with me now, Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell of New Jersey. His district includes Montclair, Bloomfield, Clifton, West Orange, Wayne, Patterson, and Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of Manhattan's East Side and Western Queens. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Good
Brian,
morning.
Brian, how are you?
Hi, Brian. Nice to be back.
Congresswoman Maloney, you've already said you'll vote no tomorrow, correct?
I'm leaning that way. I think that it's bad public policy and bad economics, and it certainly hurts urban areas. Most of Americans live in urban areas, and many of the cuts, whether it's mass transit or police and Homeland Security grants and urban area security and housing and health grants and National Institute of Health. We receive more money from the National Institute of Health than any other city in the country. So it has a lot of things that will hurt the quality of life of New Yorkers.
And Congressman Pascrell, have you declared how you'll vote?
I'm leaning yes, Brian.
Because?
And I believe that the last thing you want to do is shut down the government since we're so close. When you look at how we started in H.R. 1 and what we were able to restore in this budget, even though we are in the minority in the House of Representatives, whether it's Pell Grants, whether it's the COPS program, whether it's the Fire and Safer Grants, the president's race to the top is going to be of great benefit to New Jersey. We're going to get a second chance to redeem ourselves after goofing up on trying to apply for educational dollars. So I think all in all, this is a tough call, no question about it. When I look at what's cut in WIC, the women's program, the Women, Infants, and Children's program, community development block grants, I think many communities are going to be affected by, which is, I think, $1.5 billion in cuts. But I think much has been restored from what H.R. 1 said. So there's a good side, there's a bad side. I'm going to weigh what's best for the common good, and that's how I'll vote. We got to be on the way to reducing the deficit and the debt, not on the backs of the middle class.
We're going to try to get you on a better line, Congressman. Our producer will talk to you off the air for a minute. Congresswoman Maloney, let's crank up the list here. Some of the things that came out, maybe not as bad as Democrats feared, Title X family planning money spared, Race to the Top education money and Head Start both increased, Pell Grants pretty much spared except, I think, for summer school, money to implement the Dodd-Frank financial reform and the Obama health reform spared, public broadcasting pretty much spared, current high-speed rail projects in the Northeast spared, though all new high-speed rail was canceled. How much relief does any of that give you?
Well, and also you could add that UNFPA was funded at $40 million instead of zero.
That's International Family Planning.
Yeah, which probably does more to save women's lives around the world than anything. And I'd like to clarify my vote. If my vote would mean that the government would shut down, then I certainly would not vote to shut down the government. That would hurt our economy, hurt people. We want our government to be there serving people, and I very much support the government serving people. But when you take all three of these budget cuts, whether it was H.R. 1 or the one we're voting on Thursday or the Ryan Republican plan on Friday, you have to look at where it's moving us. And where it's moving us is towards not even reducing the deficit that much. If you look at just two, or remember two numbers, in the final, they're all moving in the same direction. And in the final bill that we vote on Friday, they would cut spending on government programs over the next decade by $4.3 trillion. And they want to cut tax revenues over the same period by $4.2 trillion. So government spending needs to be brought under control. But cutting services for police, fire, health, safety, education, just to pay for more tax cuts, in my opinion, is not good economics, not a good investment in the future, and not good public policy.
Let me play you another view of what these cuts in the current fiscal year mean from Republican Congressman Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, since both of you, our guests, are Democrats. We're going to play this Congressman Scott from South Carolina on Morning Edition today, framing this cut in annual terms.
I don't think that there's a machete in the conversation, because there's nothing draconian about going back to 2008 or 2006 levels. If you can't survive on 95% or 90% of your income, you are way overspending.
Congressman Pascrell, that's a standard GOP talking point
about
rolling the total federal budget back to just 2008 levels. That's if they'd gotten their full $61 billion in cuts,
right,
which isn't exactly, you know, going back to 1905 and repealing child labor laws. Is he wrong?
No, I think that we have to start somewhere. And Carolyn brought up the subject of what we're going to be doing after finishing 2011. Hopefully we'll get that out of the way tomorrow sometime. And then in the evening we'll begin the debate on the 2012 budget. I'm on the budget committee and Ways and Means, so I get two burdens on my shoulders. And I look at it. I've read this budget through. Ryan's budget is dead on arrival, Brian, I could tell you that.
And we'll get to that, but let's stay on the short term.
Yeah, but this is the preface to the Ryan budget. If we can reach some reconciliation on these cuts, on these CRs, and we will vote on the final one tomorrow, then I think we have set the stage for dialogue between two of the parties. Mm-hmm. If we shut the government down, and nobody wants to do that, but if we can't come to an agreement on these cuts, because we have absolutely minimized most of those cuts, and I think we need to do this. We're going to have to get hold of the deficit and the debt. We're not going to be able to do it with one swoop, but we are going to do it. You're going to see our alternative is going to do it.
And some of the things, to get back to the list, cut deeply, this is just over the next 6 months, in health, community health centers lose $600 million. anti-HIV and other communicable disease funding loses a full billion. Half a billion was cut from low-income nutrition assistance. A literacy program called Striving Leaders is eliminated altogether. Foreign aid, already a pittance in percentage terms, is deeply cut. And the EPA takes about a 15% budgetary hit, the biggest of any major agency. According to the New York Times today, this includes $49 million from anti-global warming projects, $400 million from energy conservation and renewable energy programs, $600 million less to clean up Defense Department toxic waste sites, and $1 billion less for local water treatment and pollution cleanup programs. Congressman Pascrell, do any of those programs specifically affect New Jersey that you know of?
Well, of course they do, and there's no two ways about it. But again, the question comes back to this, Brian. Do we begin the process of getting the government in balance, which is going to take some time? And that means if there's shared, there's shared sacrifices. The things that we didn't like in this 2011 reconciliation was that nothing is done really in the defense budget. Only a small portion of it is done. And we continue the process of tax cuts to those wealthiest, the 2% of wealthiest Americans. We're going to change that, of course, when we get to the bigger debate. But there's
what
of those programs affect New Jersey.
On that list, or anything that I excluded, what hits New Jersey the hardest?
I would say that anything that affects alternative energy plans and investment. And I think that would be the most. They're trying to dismantle, Brian, the EPA. They don't want the EPA even to exist. They've said that in their literature. I mean, and particularly the Tea Party has made it an anthem within whether they support candidates or not. Would you do away with the Energy mm-hmm. Department? Would you do away with the EPA? Would you do away with education?
Congresswoman Maloney, what about in New York? What hits your constituents the hardest?
I would say certainly the police, the fire, the housing, the education, the environment, women's programs, the programs that help children and the elderly are slashed of. And you have to look at it at the entire program where it's moving us. But I would like to say that I support the president's approach, and he has repeatedly said that we need a scalpel, not a machete. And we can all agree that we need to make cuts, but they need to be well targeted and well timed. Most economists say that cutting in the midst of a recovery is a bad idea and only extends the recession. And if I could go back to your clip of cutting back to 2008 to give one example mm-hmm. of what it means. When they are proposing to go back to 2008, and I'll just take the SEC, the Securities Exchange Committee, and other enforcement and regulatory bodies for finance, moving the SEC back to 2008 levels will force them to fire 200 people when their area of work has expanded dramatically.
I thought they got more to enforce Dodd-Frank. Am I wrong?
They did. You're absolutely right, Brian.
But they cut it. And what they're proposing now is going back to 2008 levels. They cut it. They're going. What the bill before us moves the SEC back to 2008 levels, which means that the enforcers are not going to be there to prevent another financial meltdown. Dodd-Frank gives a lot of other areas that were not regulated. It mm-hmm. sweeps them into regulation, the so-called derivatives and swaps and other areas that caused the financial crisis that now the SEC has to monitor. They won't have the money or people to monitor it.
Congresswoman,
so it's not a smart move.
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York City, Congressman Bill Pascrell of Northern New Jersey, as we look at the impact of the federal budget cuts on our local area, and then we'll preview the president's speech a little bit. Our Bob Henley reported this morning, Congressman, that one of the ways that this really hurts New Jersey is that local governments wind up getting federal aid cuts immediately because these take effect immediately.
That's correct.
So they take effect in some of the localities' current fiscal years. So things that they already thought they had budgeted for, whether it's police or fire or schools or whatever, based on federal aid that they thought had already been promised, now gets cut. And they're going to be hit before they can even rebudget.
Yes, that is absolutely true, Brian. But I want to go back over two things, and we'll get back to this.
Yeah.
The energy, the EPA is funded at $8.7 billion. I just checked my numbers. That's $1.6 billion below the enacted level and $1.45 billion above the H.R. 1. So we restored quite a bit of money, whether you're talking about drinking water, wastewater, whether you're talking about science and technology or the Land and Water Conservation Fund. I think we did very well in that specific area. In financial services, the SEC is actually going to be funded above about $115 million above H.R. 1. I don't want your eyes to be glassy right now, but,
right.
I,
but they're gonna,
I don't know. Barney and I just had a press conference about 2 days ago.
Barney Frank.
Chairman of the committee. But in any event, talking about the subsidies in the EPA and in energy, in this bill, the Republican budget, billions are in tax subsidies that go to big oil companies. But research on energy alternatives is cut by 85%. And then their tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, but Head Start gets cut over 200,000 children.
Would you vote no, Congresswoman, if you thought the bill could actually go down, causing an immediate partial government shutdown?
Or no,
you're only going to vote no because you think it's a safe vote because it's going to go through?
I would not in any way contribute to shutting the government down.
Right.
But if you have the votes to pass it and you have the liberty of stating what you believe, I believe this budget is unfair.
Now, Congresswoman, Democrats,
bad public policy.
Some Democrats and progressive commentators are really disappointed in the president for framing this bill as a victory for America rather than a hold your nose and accept it kind of thing and slamming the Republicans for forcing the country into it. Here is the president as he announced the deal Friday night.
A few months ago, I was able to sign a tax cut for American families because both parties worked through their differences and found common ground. Now, the same cooperation has made it possible for us to move forward with the biggest annual spending cut in history. And it's my sincere hope that we can continue to come together as we face the many difficult challenges that lie ahead.
Are you disappointed, Congresswoman, hearing the president talk like this is a good thing?
Well, Brian, I think he's a great president. And I don't agree with everything he thinks or says or does. And I, quite frankly, don't agree with everything my family thinks or says or does. We have a representative democracy, and I represent an urban area. Actually, most people in America live in urban areas. And this budget hurts people who live in Queens and the Lower East Side in my district. It hurts people who are out of work. It hurts people who want an affordable college education. And it hurts our economy. Even a conservative economist say that many cuts will cause the loss, all of these many cuts will cause the loss of over 100,000 jobs, thousands of jobs. And President Obama didn't want this budget. It was not the budget he proposed, but it was the best he could get out of the Republican majority. So I am supportive of the president. The person or people I'm mad at is the Republican majority. And if I could, Brian, clarify, the SEC was spared in this particular CR, but the SEC is cut in 2012 in the Ryan budget forward.
All right.
And 2008, you should know, was before the fiscal crisis. So they didn't do a good job before the fiscal crisis. Now they're being cut in even more. My point is, Brian, you've got to look the direction, the trend. The trend is not fair. It will grow the gap between the haves and have-nots. In my opinion, it will raise taxes, particularly on urban areas like New York, because when they slash these services, we're not going to have people sleeping on the street or without homes or without police protection. We will be providing it and probably taxing our people more to make up for what the federal government cut out of our budget.
So let's turn to the Ryan proposal, which the president will respond to this afternoon at 1:30, and we'll carry it live. And by the way, listeners, we'll have a live online chat that I'll host at that time on our politics webpage. It's afreecountry.org, 1:30. It seems to include, Congresswoman, a progressive Medicare tax on the rich, if you want to frame it that way. Future seniors would be given vouchers to buy insurance on the private market, and the vouchers would be means-tested on a sliding scale so that lower-income seniors, presumably, like the subsidies that they would get to buy health insurance in the Obama plan for younger workers, they would have to pay very little out of pocket if they were really low income. Is that a good thing by your values?
No, it will end Medicare as we know it. And as you know, when things are block granted, you see what happens to them. The community development block grant is practically decimated in this budget. And I think that the Republican budget puts the burden on the backs of the middle class and seniors, but protects the higher income, even gives them a greater tax break. And I think that that's unfair, and it doesn't invest in the future. It doesn't move us forward, and it doesn't even reduce the deficit by that much.
Congressman Pascrell, the tax portion of the Ryan plan, he reduces the top income tax rate from 35 to 25%. That would be the top income tax rate. But he says it would be revenue neutral by closing loopholes, which he has yet to specify. Is that maybe a good thing, lower rates but fewer loopholes?
Well, we're going to address that, the lower corporate taxes. That's a definite in the 2012 budget. There'll be both proposals from both sides of the aisle.
That's the corporate taxes.
That's correct. The individual income taxes, we may be lowering the rates, but if we do other things. See, his numbers do not add up. For instance, you go back to the point you asked Carolyn, the voucher system is horrible because there's a gap between the cost of the voucher or the value of the voucher and the cost of health care. If you look at the trajectory of how health care costs have been going up, which this budget does nothing about. So here's Mr. Ryan, who I get along with very, very well, but his ideas are upside down. Here's Mr. Ryan saying we're going to get rid of the Health Care Act, the Reform Act. We're going to use the money, however, from the savings that have been recommended by the Democrats to balance their own budget. It doesn't add up at all, and he hasn't decided how he's going to make up that difference either. He tells us we're going to do loopholes. Well, both parties talk about loopholes. Let's get very specific. They're talking about the folks, the corporations who take their business offshore and don't pay any taxes. We've seen that in the last 2 weeks. People in my district in New Jersey, the 8th Congressional District, could not believe when they read about General Electric. They couldn't believe it.
No taxes last year.
That's correct. And what we want this to be is fair to everybody, Brian. That's the name of the game, so that we don't balance budgets on the back of the middle class.
So let's wrap this up with each of you telling us.
I would say, Brian, you got to look at whose loopholes. They don't say, if you look at their trend in their budget, their loopholes are going to be children, families, the elderly, cops, fire. Homeland Security grant.
That's the spending. But do you actually think, Congresswoman, that it could mean lower taxes for the rich and higher taxes for the working and middle class? You know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page thinks the poor and working class don't pay their fair share in taxes. Is that where Ryan, with his stated Ayn Rand philosophy, is really aiming?
Yes. You have to look at the total trend. I mean, I think these numbers tell the whole story. In the next decade, government spending will be cut by $4.3 trillion. So that is your education, health, and services.
But that's on the spending side. I mean,
yeah,
in terms of who pays
the
taxes.
Tax revenues, give the tax breaks of $4.2 trillion. So they're basically the same. They're going to cut the government, and then they're going to cut the tax revenues, too. So, we need to bring government spending under control.
Congressman, do you have a quick thought on this, just on the taxes themselves? If it's going to reduce the top rate, but be revenue neutral, do you think it would actually mean an increase in taxes on those with less means?
Absolutely.
Yes, it would.
And that's why, Brian, that we've separated the gap between the rich and the very poor in this country has grown. The middle class is decimated over the last 15 to 20 years. I think both parties are responsible for that, Brian. But I'll tell you this, the Ryan proposal does not in any manner, shape, or form lessen that gap between the rich and the poor. And I will tell you this, it will increase taxes in the long run. Ryan does not balance the budget in 10 years. We balance we have a primary balance in 10 years on the Democratic side. And I think we got to look not only at the numbers, more importantly, the policies. We have to lower that rate. His budget would, of course, lower the rate, as you pointed out, the 25%. We're going to make up that revenue. Where are we going to make up the revenue to do what Mr. Ryan wants to do?
And he hasn't yet said, so obviously that discussion is to come. We're really over time.
Oh, okay.
But so I just want to get a quick word from each of you. We'll hear the president in his own words at 1:30 this afternoon, and I think they're trying to hold the details close. But Congresswoman Maloney, what can you tell us about how this president might approach Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security? We hear he may, in fact, touch the third rail of Social Security.
Well, quite frankly, I have tried to find out what he's going to say by reaching out to his office and other areas that might have it, and they're keeping it very close to the vest. We can all agree, and he has said it many times, that we need to make cuts, but they need to be well-targeted and well-timed. And to use the president's words, we need a scalpel, not a machete. And I would just say that the Republican budget is the wrong choice for the American people. It's unfair for the middle class, does not create jobs, and does not strengthen the economy.
Congressman,
the Republican budget gives tax breaks to millionaires while ending Medicare. A guarantee for seniors.
Congressman Pascrell, what are you hearing? 20 seconds.
I think we're going to see the president recommends some dramatic cuts in the budget. There's no two ways about it. And you will see, Brian, that he's going to stay very close to the outline in the draft of the deficit commission. I think Bowles and Simpson came closest to where we'll be going in the next 2 years. Somewhere in the middle, we're going to find some reconciliation. I believe when you look through Bowles and that commission and the recommendations that they made, whether it be on Social Security, whether it be in infrastructure, whether it be on tax reform, discretionary spending, you name it, I think it makes a lot of sense. Would I do everything that the commission recommended? Absolutely not. But I think that they've provided a good framework, and I don't believe Mr. Ryan's budget does that.
Congressman Bill Pascrell from Northern New Jersey, Patterson, Montclair, Wayne, elsewhere. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, Democrat from the east side of Manhattan and western Queens. We really appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again.
Okay, Brian.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
And again, one more reminder that this afternoon at 1:30, the president announces his approach to deficit reduction. We will carry it live on our AM station, AM 820. We will also stream it live on our politics website. It's freecountry.org. And I will moderate a live simultaneous chat during the speech right there at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer, WNYC, stay with us.